Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection. John chapter 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Well, last week, we saw the Apostle John give an eternal account of Jesus Christ. We saw that Jesus was not part of God's creation, but he was actually one of the triune Godhead. He was a participant in the creation of the heavens and the earth, in the man and the woman, in the animals and in the fishes. This week, the Apostle John gives us an example of a witness. The Apostle knew the most effective way to tell folks about Jesus is through a witness. The apostle himself was writing his gospel as a witness. Since John the Baptist and Jesus were cousins, and both of them had been spared the death of Herod the Great, we should realize there is no greater witness than that of someone who has been saved from death, and no greater witness than that is the opportunity to experience life. Speaking of John the Baptist this morning, that's who our passage is about. The Apostle John starts out, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He wasn't talking about himself. He was talking about John the Baptist, the one that came from the wilderness. Speaking of that, did you ever wonder, how did John the Baptist get in the wilderness? The Bible tells us. We know from Scripture that John the Baptist came out of the wilderness preaching about Jesus. And we know that he lived on locust and honey, and we know that story from childhood. But how did he get there? Why was he even in the wilderness? As I just mentioned, he and Jesus were cousins. Remember when Mary was carrying Jesus, she went to visit Elizabeth. Elizabeth was her cousin. Elizabeth, while there, John leaped in her womb. Remember the story? Well, then, fast forward ahead a few years, you have the birth of Jesus, and naturally, you have the birth of John the Baptist. Well, you know the story of the birth of Jesus. It goes through our Christmas story, and then you have the angel coming to Joseph and telling Joseph to take the baby Jesus and flee to Egypt because his life is in danger. Remember, Herod the Great gave the command to have all of the children too and under killed? And then Jesus was fled and taken into Egypt in order to prevent that. John the Baptist's father was a priest in the temple. There were many, many priests, possibly thousands of them. And they each had their name in a calendar or on a roll, and they would come and they would live in town and they would take up the ministry of the priesthood for their week or month or however long it was. Then they would move and they would go back home. Home for John the Baptist was out in the country, we would say. Home for John the Baptist was the wilderness. John's daddy took him back home, where he and his family stayed. When Herod's decree went out to kill the children, God protected John the Baptist in the wilderness. John the Baptist grew up from a child to a teenager to a young adult. And then when God gave the command, when God laid it upon his heart, John the Baptist made his way from the wilderness into town and began preaching the coming Messiah. Began his ministry. Now I say all of that to say this morning. The picture of John the Baptist isn't any different than your life and my life. John the Baptist grew up in the wilderness. You and I grew up in the wilderness. John the Baptist grew up in a worldly area where life was full of dangers. You and I have grown up in an area, and we live in an area in the world, in the wilderness of the world this morning, that's full of spiritual dangers. When John the Baptist was called forth to begin his ministry, he had to be obedient to God. When we are called out of ministry or out of the wilderness into the ministry, we are called through the blood of Jesus Christ. We are called to step out of the world and to take Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior and move into God's service. Now that may not necessarily be preaching or teaching or missions work or evangelism or any of those areas, but nonetheless, as a born-again child of God, you are a witness of Jesus Christ. Just by the mere fact of being covered in His blood, of accepting His shed blood to cover your sin and to be atonement for your sin. You and I find ourselves in the place of John the Baptist more often than not. We find ourselves in the wilderness as a born-again Christian. We find ourselves as a witness in the wilderness. Have you ever considered yourself that? Think about it. What better picture is there of a Christian than that of being a witness in the wilderness and coming out of that wilderness preaching the good news of Jesus Christ, proclaiming Jesus Christ to those who do not know Him? So, are you willing to be a witness this morning? Are you prepared to be a witness today? This morning, I want us to see three things in the passage that we read. Three things that John the Baptist recognized about his life. And three things that you and I need to recognize about our lives and how we practice them. And in doing so, be productive and successful as a witness of Jesus Christ. Notice with me first that John the Baptist bore witness as a messenger. In verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was God. He was sent from God. He was a messenger. There had been 400 years of silence in Israel since the last preacher spoke. There were religious work that was being done. The temple was still going about its business. The priests were still going about their business. There was still religion being carried out in Israel. But there was no prophet preaching the word and the message of God, and had not been for 400 years. And then came John the Baptist. Preaching, proclaiming, but not just the work of the priest. He was preaching and proclaiming the coming Messiah. He was preaching and proclaiming Jesus Christ has arrived. He is born. He is coming. John the Baptist said specifically, I'm not worthy to tie his shoes. At least that's the way we would say it today. John recognized that this man was here. He had never seen him. He had never laid eyes on him. But John knew the Savior was at hand. Now, God's Word may not be silent today. The preaching of God's Word may not be silent, but it sure is very quiet often. Oh, we hear a lot of religion and a lot of religious talk. a lot of religious shows, ceremonies, and rituals, and all of the other things that go with religion. But how much of God's Word do we really hear preached and proclaimed today? It's getting slim, and it's getting slimmer every day. Preachers are being silenced out of fear. Fear of having their money taken away. Fear of having their prestige taken away. Fear of having their power taken away. Fear of having their influence taken away. So, in order to accommodate all of those that have authority over them, they water down their messages. It's time for the people of God, for the men of God that are in the pulpits of the church, to stand up and preach the gospel. It is time for the witness of the Word of God to return to the ears of the people and to the streets of our land. It's time for the Word of God to ring out so the Holy Spirit can convict. So the Holy Spirit can call men and women to redemption. John the Baptist was a messenger. John the Baptist also came from the world, from the wilderness where he had been since the days of Herod. How does that relate to you? Again, I remind you, if you're redeemed today, you're redeemed from the wilderness. You're redeemed from the world. The world and the wilderness are often used in the New Testament to account for the sin that goes on outside in our lives that tempts us and influences us. You're saved and redeemed from that today if you're born again. That means you're a messenger. You are a messenger that is called to proclaim to other people what God has delivered you from. So does your life reflect that of a messenger? Does your life reflect that of someone who has been called out from the world? Are you a messenger of the good news of Jesus Christ? Are you a messenger of the gospel today? Or should I say, are you practicing the lifestyle of a messenger? If you're saved this morning, you are a messenger. If you're saved today, you have been called out of the wilderness. If you're saved today, you are being asked to practice the life of a messenger. Are you? John was sent from God to bear light of the coming Son of God. To bear light. The Great Commission calls you and I to bear light and to be salt. The Great Commission calls us to lead people to salvation and to disciple them. To disciple them. That means we first must be disciples ourselves. Someone can ask you, are you saved? Are you born again? And you may say, yes, I am. And that's good. I hope everyone in here can raise their hand and say, yes, I am. But let me ask a more specific question this morning. Are you a disciple? Are you dedicated to being a disciple of Jesus Christ? And are you dedicated to discipling others? That is a more specific question to the work of the Great Commission today. John the Baptist was a born-again Christian. John the Baptist was a disciple. John the Baptist was leading, and he lived his life to lead other people to Jesus. John the Baptist had his own following of people. John the Baptist could have started out and took his own religion and went his own direction with it. But he didn't. His ministry and his message was dedicated to one thing and one thing only. And that was leading people to Jesus Christ. Often today, we see churches that are dedicated to building up numbers. We see churches that are dedicated to building up books. We see churches that are dedicated to building up finances. We see churches that are dedicated to building up anything and everything that the world would look at and say, ooh and aah, look at them. But do we have any churches left today that are interested in building up Jesus Christ? Do we have any churches left today that are interested in proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Do we have any churches today that are willing to be John the Baptist in the 21st century? Do we have any Christians that are willing to be John the Baptist in the 21st century? John the Baptist was given this message to proclaim over a coming Savior. You and I have a message today to proclaim for a coming Savior, which is Jesus Christ. He wants to call people to salvation today. He wants His Word proclaimed, His message proclaimed. He wants His witnesses to stand up and to lead people to Him before the rapture. We know He's coming to claim His church. We know He's coming to call us up. We just don't know when. He wants us to be leading other people to Him before He comes. Yes, we have a message. We are messengers. We are messengers to the 21st century today about Jesus Christ coming to rapture His church and not be left behind. Don't be left behind. There is a world there that you're going to be left in that's not going to be any fun. It's not going to be like Hollywood portrays it. There's not going to be some knight riding in a fast car or in a big truck or on a horse. There's not going to be somebody coming in with guns blazing that's going to save the day. Hey, folks, the Expendables are not going to show up. Once Jesus comes and gets His church, He takes with it the presence of the Holy Spirit as we know it today. For 7 years, there will be literal hell on earth. And Jesus is giving us the commission to not leave anyone behind. It's their choice to make, but it's our responsibility to give them a choice to make. We are messengers, and we have a message. Next, John the Baptist bore witness with a motive. John intended for others to believe. Look in verse 7. The same came for a witness. He came for a witness. He came to be a witness. He had a motive. To bear witness of the light that all men through Him might believe. Through Him being Jesus. What's your motive? There are church houses around the world filling this morning, singing songs and hymns, listening to messages. What are their motives? I don't know. I'm not anyone's judge. I'm not your judge this morning. But I am asking a question. What is your motive? Are you concerned about someone's soul? Are you worried that someone you know may be on their way to hell this morning? Are you really concerned about that? Are you here to hear a word from God so you can get closer to God, so that you can be better prepared to do His work? Or are you here for another reason? Are you here to impress someone? Are you here to just have somewhere to be today? I can't answer that. Only you and God know. But John the Baptist had an intention and had a motive, and his motive was to lead people to Jesus Christ. That ought to be our motive today. That ought to be your motive and mine. It ought to be a spiritual nature to see people saved and born again. John also came bearing the truth of God's Word. Does your motive bear witness to the truth of God's Word? There's a lot of gospels being preached today. There's a lot of books being preached in pulpits that are not the Bible. There's a lot of social gospel. A lot of just everybody get along and everybody coexist and everybody just kind of grant each other the liberty to do as they please and do as they want, and then everything will be peaceful and it will be harmony, and if everybody will just be tolerant, it will all work out. There's no Bible in that. The Word of God says there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. The Word of God says the only way to get saved is to accept Jesus Christ and to believe in Him with all of your heart. So, does your motive bear God's Word? Do you testify of salvation to other people based on social tolerance? Or do you testify of salvation to other people based upon the Word of God? Not my word, not the preacher's word, not the commentary's opinion, but the Word of God. Do you know and understand and realize the Word of God well enough to lead people to what the Bible says? My favorite verses when it comes to salvation, or Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. If you don't know what those are sometimes, write them down and look them up. John bore witness with a motive as a witness that is called to testify about what they know, not how they feel. When you think of a witness, do you get the picture of someone being in a courtroom? Someone being called from a courtroom to sit on a stand, they take an oath to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help them God. If they take a true oath, they take that oath. And yet they're there as a witness, and the questions that come to them are, describe in your own words what you saw. The Gospel of John is just that witness. John is describing to you and I what he saw, what he witnessed as a disciple, as an apostle. What about you? What have you witnessed for Jesus Christ in your life? Does your witness come from your own personal experiences? Are you willing to share with other people where the Word of God brought you from and what the Word of God is bringing you to? What did Jesus save you from? I'm not asking for colorful details. You know, and yet you can express that to other people in such a way that it'll touch their heart and their life. And don't spend time in who you once were. Spend time in who you are now that you're saved and born again. And if you're not saved and if you're not born again, you don't have to live in that life anymore. You don't have to stay in that condition anymore. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Jesus wants to save you this morning. Are you giving a witness coming from your own experience, or are you just sharing an opinion? Because you can't be a witness off of just an opinion. It has to come from experience. You can't be a witness to a Savior that you've never had an experience with. You can't be a witness to a salvation that you've never had. It can't be an opinion. If you're going to be a witness today, and a witness with a motive, it has to be one that comes from a personal experience. Number three this morning, John the Baptist bore witness with a method. In verse 8, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. He was not Jesus. Yes, that's what that means in a nutshell. And he was there to bear witness of Jesus. But let me ask you this morning. Let me ask you to put yourself and put John the Baptist in the spot of science. The science of astronomy. What's the purpose of the moon? When you go out at night on a clear night and you see the moon and it's there and it, whatever shape or configuration it's in, and it's there and it's glowing, does the moon glow? Does the moon produce light? Is the moon light? No. The moon reflects the light of the sun. John the Baptist was a reflection of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist was the equivalent of a spiritual moon for Jesus Christ. If you're born again today, if you're saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, you too are that same reflection. You too are that same purpose that John the Baptist had. He was not light, but he reflected that light from the sun, the S-O-N of God. You reflect that same light of the S-O-N, the Son of God, this morning. That's something to be excited about. That's something to be on fire about today, that you have got the privilege in your life to be a reflection of the Son of God for other people in order to be a witness. There is a method to being a messenger. There is a method to being that witness this morning. And it is to be a reflection of the light. Not to bring any notice to ourselves, but to bring all notice to Jesus Christ. Just like John the Baptist, you and I are sent to bear witness, not to be that light. Too often it's easy to get gathered into all the attention, to all of the fanfare that may come and try to spring up out of being a witness. And yet, I can't see the word fanfare actually living out in that, because Jesus is so rejected of the world today. When you start talking about Him, you can watch people literally cringe at His name. The very people who say they want peace and they want to coexist, when you mention the name of Jesus, you can watch them cringe. Or you can watch them try to twist and turn His teachings into something that it really isn't. But nonetheless, we are to be a witness and a reflection of that light into the darkness of the world and the wilderness that we live in. When we walk out of here shortly, the sun will be out. It will be shining brightly. As far as daylight. But yet the Son of God will be shining much brighter. Will you be a reflection of that? Will you be that reflection of that spiritual light that's being shined into the darkness of sin? Into the darkness of people's lives who are needing a witness today. Who are needing to see and to hear the truth of God's Word. John the Baptist waited most of his life for the call to come out of the wilderness. When that call came, John was more than happy to obey it. If you're saved this morning, then you have been called out of the wilderness. And you have obeyed that call. This morning, I ask, if you've obeyed that call and you know that you're saved, are you the witness that God wants you to be? Maybe you're here this morning and you're experiencing God's call to come out of the wilderness. Maybe you feel God calling you to come get saved this morning. Maybe you feel God saying, you're not where you need to be. You need to be saved. Maybe that's what you feel this morning. I want to tell you to come, to be prepared to come. I'd like to ask that we could have our musicians come and prepare some music for invitation this morning. Just some simple music, just some music this morning. Something for the Holy Spirit to work with. Before you can be called a witness, you have to experience something. And that something is Jesus Christ. You must experience Him personally. You must come to Him and ask Him to forgive you of your sin, to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You have to understand that you are a sinner in need of salvation. You have to be able to answer His call upon your life. You can only be in one of two conditions this morning. Either you're saved and you know it without a doubt, or you're just not sure. If you are sure beyond a shadow of a doubt, then the follow-up to this is being the witness you should be. Are you that? If you're not sure of your salvation, if you know that you have never been saved, and you know that God is dealing with your heart to come and get saved, will you come while we sing this morning? If God is dealing with your heart for any other purpose of being a witness to Him, would you come and do business with Him this morning? While we sing, will you come?